This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington, and I'm talking with composer Stephen Cox, who, along with his team at Unified Sounds, created the soundtrack for Farpoint. It's this really cool VR shooter from the studio Impulse Gear. And Steve, wow, it's great to have a chance to talk with you.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Farpoint is really a much more involved VR game than a lot of them, because for one thing, it's got this full-length story mission. And I'm curious, just right off the bat, what was it about the game that made you want to do the music?
The fact that it was sci-fi was an instant plus for me. I jumped right on it. And then as I read through the project brief, the description that's given to you for the demo, it was just great. It was out of my childhood in terms of the stuff I loved to not only write, but watch and experience.
Yeah, because it's got this really intriguing story. You're a solitary explorer trying to figure out what happened on this mysterious planet. So it sounds as though the story itself is pretty immersive, and then the way the game is designed too, with all the places you can go, must have just like really sucked you in.
Yes, and it really wasn't until I got to play a very early alpha, even before beta, where I realized how this experience is just going to transcend the normal scoring approach. And it was, yeah, after I got to play it once, I was very enthusiastic, to say the least.
Yeah, I bet. Well, early on, and this has been a multi-year process to get this game shipped, what did they give you? What kind of clues did they give you to get you started with the music?
The project brief consisted of a very well-written description. By the way, Sony's writes the best briefs I've ever had in all my years, complete with some screenshots and some art that was included along with the storyline, and then more of a breakdown of the vibe or style they were looking for, along with a few examples of modern science fiction scores or snippets of maybe some scores here and there of the emotional content that they were trying to convey. And yeah, so we took all that, and really, when I first heard about this, they were very specific about a small ensemble, very eerie strings, and that was their focus. But as soon as I read this brief, the sound design aspect and the ethereal tones was something I really wanted to dig into first. And that's kind of how we approach the score. Sound design first, and then the compositions came later.
Wow. Well, yeah, tell me about this. I apparently went out on a scavenger hunt with some members of the team to find sounds in the world that you could incorporate into the music. So what was that process like?
My writing partner, right-hand man, Dr. Danny McIntyre, and I, when we first got the opportunity, the first thing we did was just rummage through my garage, which had a lot of junk in it at the time. And we had a bow for a cello, and anything that would make odd atonal screeching tones. And it could be a piece of metal, glass, wood. I mean, we were trying everything. And also a lot of exotic instruments that we've collected over the years. And we brought that in to the initial demo phase and just spent an entire day recording and manipulating the sounds to get this really thick ethereal palette that would match the game's aesthetic. So yeah, after that, it was time to write music. And oddly enough, a lot of the tones that we used or ended up manipulating all were hovering around the key of B, or not really the key of B major or minor, just the fundamental was the note B. And it was really weird. Like when we started meshing all these together, everybody had the same fundamental. And that really set the key initially, which was kind of a problem because, drop tuning on a cello is no fun. As you know, and we just made it work and wrote the score with the sound design kind of being the foundation of the entire first two pieces that we did. which later that demo ended up being the main theme after a lot of tweaking.
What I like about it is that having those sounds in there, it almost feels like the music is sort of growing organically right out of being in the world of the game, really. So there's like not this sort of, immediate being hit on the head because now there's music. It's very subtle, and the way it kind of weaves in and out is really great. So how much sort of trial and error did you have to do with like early builds of the game to make sure that it was a good fit with what was going on, all around you in the VR world?
There was a lot of trial and error, for sure. And I have to give a shout out to the Sony guys, Anthony Caruso and Rob Goodson. Those guys, the three of us worked really hard on the implementation side of things, going back and forth. And those guys did the heavy lifting in terms of testing and QA and, okay, let's put this sound here. And oh, yeah, it does blend into the ambience. And when I would hand things off, the space was very important. It was important to get the right panning and reverb because it's a headphone mix, more or less. So when you turn your head in that world, the ambience is shifting as well as the music, as well as enemies and spiders approaching. So getting the correct spread was really important.
Thank you.
trial and error, it organically grew over that year. Over the course of a year, we started very big and wide and ambient, which worked very well for much of the game because you are in just a desolate landscape half the time. And then as the scoring progressed, we got to take a few more risks and get a little more action-packed and creepy and bring in some more hard musical lines as well as tones and impacts and things like that. So it was a great process just working with that team under Jonathan Mayer, who's the senior music manager there. He was just awesome, and his team is I had a lot of fun just working with those guys.
Yeah, well, that's the best kind of experience that you can have, where everybody, they work so hard to just make a fantastic game, and everybody, the communication is great, and everybody kind of has the same vision, and it really comes across with this game, I think. And you mentioned some of the tracks where you kind of ramped up the sound and everything, and there's one, Descent. I'm not really sure where it fits in the game, but, and I know one of the things the devs sort of played with are people's phobias of like spiders and stuff. And I can hear them skittering around in that track. And so it's really an amazing fit with the game.
Yeah. Danny and I had such a good time writing that particular piece. In the beginning, it's funny, the first half of the score is pretty much the first half in terms of the way we wrote it, a timeline, if you will. Aside from the second piece, Anomaly, we wrote all those cues, the softer, somber, more ethereal cues early on. And I was just itching to do a spider cue. Like, when do I get to do spiders? When do we get, and, I'd send them spiders in all caps. Like, when? Is it now? Can we do it now? So yeah, there are, without spoiling the game, there are sections where you walk into a cave and they're just scurrying around and creeping around, and it's very unsettling. And we just had so much fun with the writing in terms of there's a lot of pizzicato lines that are impossible. I'm really wondering how I'm going to score that out eventually. Just came together so great in that world, and it's used throughout. It's not used just in one little spot. Chunks of it have been split up and thrown all over the game. So yeah, I love that piece.
Yeah, well, I can imagine as people are playing the game, they're just sort of really on edge when they hear it because they go, oh my God, more spiders.
Yeah.
It really seems like the holy grail with VR games right now is getting the music right. And you mentioned the placement. And I know the sound in the game is really directional, but could you elaborate a little bit more on how you made the music work in the VR world, like when you turn your head?
Yeah, that was a process. In the beginning, no one had a clue. It really, there wasn't much of, the Sony VR headset was not even released at the time when we first started this. So there was... It was really hard to test things when you didn't have the appropriate gear. But over time, we were going back and forth. Should the music be married to the ambience spatially? Meaning, when you turn your head, is that music going to stay stationary, or is it going to follow your head, or is it going to be maybe glued to some virtual speakers that sit in the world wherever we deem necessary. And I think we do a little bit of all three, but what really works is when the virtual speakers are in the world and the music is coming from a space. And then your brain just doesn't know, okay, am I listening to sound effects? Is this ambience? And we found the immersion works better when it does feel as if the music is in the world, almost like source music in film.
Yeah.
When someone turns on a car radio and you hear the radio in the film and as the listener. So it's a similar concept, and we eventually came to that conclusion towards the end.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting problem that everybody has, because in VR, it has such a recent history that it's kind of like working without a safety net, and you can't go back and see how other teams have solved this problem, because there aren't that many. So you've got to kind of come up with the solution by yourself. And I can kind of see how you could actually incorporate it into the level design at some point, if you have the music, maybe could lead the player to a particular place in the level. Kind of off topic, but
absolutely. It does. It definitely is triggered by your movement, and you guide the music at certain times. But yeah, the possibilities are endless in this world. There's some, I cannot wait for the next couple of years to see how music is going to be implemented in the future.
The other thing that makes this game so interesting is that it really kind of demands that you get physical. You're supposed to be walking around and pushing things and pulling things. And so it seems as though it's a much more immersive experience than a lot of VR games. And did that come into effect at all with your music too?
I think because of that aim controller, which is bundled with Farpoint, the Sony AIM, it is physical. And I found like my left tricep was just totally sore after playing this thing, because not only are you on edge and sweating bullets, but you're holding this gun and you're moving it all over the world, all over the place. So it is very active, very, very physical, immersive experience. In terms of that affecting the music, we kind of wanted to stay out of the way more than anything. We didn't want to get too big, too quick when you were exploring the terrain, for example, or exploring a new level. Our primary concern was just to not snap the user out of the immersive experience. And if anything, that was always on the tip of our brain until the levels got so action-packed and terrifying that we got to ramp up the music accordingly. But yeah, it was definitely, it is a physical game. I'm finding towards the end, I'm just like, whew, I can only take like 45 minutes and need a break.
Yeah, I bet the boss battles are like super intense with the music and the controller and everything. And did you rethink the way the music with enemy encounters or boss battles? You know, there's kind of a traditional roadmap for the way those music cues are often scored. Did you incorporate any of that with like the acceleration or the adding layers and layers and tension, or did you kind of come at it from a different way?
We did do a few that were fairly standard in terms of the thermometer effect, meaning the more enemies there are, or the more tension that triggers the thermometer, which triggers more layers over an overlay or an underlying loop, if you will, or a very long loop. But yeah, that was a fun code to crack, to come up with all these segments and layers that could come in anywhere, like two bars, within two bars, and work musically. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Then there were also cues that were more divided in terms of, like, let's say when the boss is on the ground, the music will have this vibe. And then when the boss is maybe up in a mountain throwing spider eggs at you, it would change accordingly depending on where the enemy was in the world. And yeah, for the most part, we wanted to give as much flexibility to the implementers, to Sony, as possible. So they could drop in this cue with this cue. We wrote a lot of cues that are in the same key, more or less the same tempo. So there's a lot of mashup possibilities that we gave them on purpose.
Yeah, well, that's neat because then the music stays fresh as you're walking through this world and you don't think to yourself, didn't I just hear this like an hour ago? And so so yeah, keeping it flexible, I think, is really kind of a fundamental thing. You know, what I liked about the music too is that it doesn't have the kind of stereotypical we're in a space shooter kind of world. It Instead, because you use this chamber ensemble and then the found sounds, it kind of just reinforces the loneliness that you feel. You're just on your own on this planet. And I think, like I said, a big factor of that is the chamber ensemble. How did you round up the musicians for that part of it?
At the time, I was working as a professor at Full Sail University, and so was Dr. Danny McIntyre. He's still there, actually, as a course chair for the composition department. And we have just Full Sail, for whatever reason, has attracted some of the great talent around Orlando, and we just had some just perfect session players come in that kind of think the same way we do. Rather than, coming in to read down music and just sight read and maybe make some notes here and there. These guys were contributing. Like, we would experiment. Hey, let's see what happens when we do this weird mic technique, and then let's flip the bowing around. And we had a lot of great success with just local players in Orlando. In the very beginning, we only brought in a few violinists to do the original demo. And it just worked really well. As you said, it's very lonely, isolated, desolate. And that was first and foremost on the emotional content list that we were given. And after that, we're like, okay, now there's this giant wormhole that happens. And it's totally scary and large. So the question was, okay, is this where we can go large ensemble on that? And there was that was, if there was any question during the composition process, that was always it. Like, how big or how small should we go, and what works and what doesn't? And in the end, both sort of work in those levels, but I think the small ensemble wins the day.
Yeah, definitely. Because then it's like you've got this, I don't know, it's keeping you company in a way. And I think having the strings too, it's like something familiar. It's like a little sound of home mixed in with all of these really alien type sounds. So it was a good call.
Yeah, I'm very happy with. Again, we were all reinventing the wheel as we went. How big is too big? And very glad that the small solo strings worked out as well as they did.
Yeah, and I'm really curious about the track New Life because it's so different from a lot of the other really tense cues, because it's got this really wistful kind of haunting melody with the solo piano, and then the strings come in. And in the midst of all this tension and just, you know, high blood pressure type music, it's a really restful interlude. And I mean, without any spoilers, where does it fit in the game?
Ooh, how do I not spoil this?
Oh, okay. Well, if you...
yeah. Okay. So it does happen at a point where the two main astronauts, Dr. Moon and the female protagonist, they are coming to terms, I guess, with their situation. And it's a great cinematic scene where that piece is used. It's actually in, you know, more of a, as you go through the game, there are cinematics that pop on that are like holographic logs from the astronauts that came before you. And those are usually where the emotions come out. It's usually during an emotional interaction between the two astronauts. And so that particular cue is a very warm scene in general. And you're going to be the first one to hear this. I actually wrote that when we found out our good friend had just passed away. And it was just that day. And it was a sad day, but that music just flowed. It was a very quick cue. It just popped out. I thought it was going to be an instant reject. I was like, wow, I went way outside of the sonic palette that we've been developing. And I don't know what I was thinking, but here it goes. And they loved it. There was a lot of positive feedback from everyone at Sony and Impulse Gear.
Wow.
So yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, I'm sorry for your friend. It and maybe that explains the really emotional intensity with this track too. It and like you say, it's not. It struck me too. It's not like anything else in the game, and it must be a really powerful moment when you come upon it in the game. And that just illustrates how essential music is for games, because if it wasn't there, the scene just wouldn't be the same. So now, from what I understand, this is like the biggest project you've ever worked on for a game. Is this given you a taste to write more music for games, or has it pretty much like put you off the whole process?
Oh, absolutely. I am hooked, to say the least. I've done quite a few films, and we do a lot of stuff for TV. And I think the level of excitement and creative flexibility that you're given with a game like this is just, yeah, it's second to none. Because we did have to help design the world sonically with our sound palette, I felt that like it was, just as important as the artists that are involved with certain textures or landscapes. And you're a part of the world building process, and that was just the best part, just being able to contribute in that way musically. And the fact that you're not locked down to picture, that it's very non-linear and you're jumping all over the place in terms of style and sound, and but there's flexibility in terms of timings and the way things can be layered up and cut in. And it's also very technical, which I guess appeals to me. I love those technical production challenges, and I love it. I'm very much looking forward to the next opportunity.
Yeah, it's going to be great to hear what you come up with next. And wow, Stephen, thanks so much for telling us just a little bit about how you created this amazing soundtrack. It's been great to talk.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been awesome.